welcome one, welcome all, step right up, ladies and gentlemen, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 136 is on its way. Howdy everybody, Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. It's a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. And for more information, you can go to Facebook, The Portal, and you can find us on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Currently, we don't have a website, so we're reworking on that. We'll let you know when that pops back up. But you can find us on those places. Hello, everyone. It's good to talk to you. It's been a little while. I have not done a lot of coverage since Gen Con. I've been playing a reasonable amount of games, not a crazy amount of games, and it's really just been school, kicking my butt. So if you don't know, I'm a school teacher, a high school teacher, and I teach math. And I don't know why, but for some reason this year has just really been a difficult start to the school year. And just have not done, it's just been a big thing. I know my school changed, and it changed schedule and a few other things, but it's just been a lot harder to get my head around the schedule and other things. And there's a couple times where I was out and about and I had some free time, and I meant to bring the recorder and I forgot. And so that's how this episode got behind. And Kathy wanted to be on an episode and she's been sick and we've been busy and I just haven't been able to get her on an episode. So anyway, it doesn't matter. Here we are now. And we'll be bringing some episodes to you. I am inside my bedroom, and I can hear it's a little cacophonous, so I know there'll be an echo, but this is the best spot to work right now with kids downstairs doing homework and whatnot. So, hey, this is what we've got today in terms of all that. All right, this is episode number 136, and I've entitled it, I'll Do It Myself. I'm going to talk about solo gaming, I suppose, but very specifically Nintendo Switch at the end of the episode. So I figure I'll talk about some Nintendo Switch, which I guess isn't all solo gaming, but I like the quote, the Thanos quote. So that's what we're going with for this episode. What's going on? Gearing up for VonnerCon. So VonnerCon is 4 days at my house, open gaming. If you're in the Connecticut area, want to swing by, we'll be doing that October 10th to the 13th. And you can come play games and whatnot, so that's going to be at my house, so we're gearing up for that in just a couple weeks, 3 weeks. Looking forward to that. And then about 3 weeks after that, we'll be gearing up for the Extra Life charity event at the store. So we'll see how that goes, 24 hours raising money to help kids at the Connecticut Children's Medical Center. So that should be really good. We'll give you details as that approaches. So that's mostly what's happening. Probably a few other behind-the-scenes happening, but we're going to unravel and unveil all that as we move forward here in terms of what's going on. So I think I'm just going to jump into some reviews, and then I'm going to talk about Nintendo Switch, not necessarily review any Nintendo Switch games. I'm not sure that I'm a video game reviewer, and we'll get to that. That's going to kind of be this episode. So probably a little on the shorter side, but you'll get a lot of good Brant rambling, so that should be fun. All right, I'm going to start with a game called Artsy. And Artsy is a J. Alex Cavern game, and it is by Renegade Games. J. Alex Cavern is an interesting designer because some of his games I just think are so good, like Gold West and World's Fair is phenomenal. And then there's other games that just haven't hit with me at all. Prowler's Passage and Passing Through Petra and what was the other one? Sentient. I just wasn't really a big fan of those, but the others I really did. So I'm always interested when I hear about those games to get a chance to play them. So Artsy is essentially a card game, kind of a card drafting or just card playing game, and you're building an art gallery together. The goal is to get the most visitors to your art gallery, and whoever has the most visitors when the draw piles run out wins the game. So you set out a certain number of cards. And you start with galleries in front of you. So galleries are four different colors. They are blue, they are green, they are yellow, or they are red. Or they're one of those colors. And then they can have those color paintings in them. So your cards are divided into two pieces. On your turn, you play a card. You either create a new gallery in front of you, or you overlay another. You can do either. You can have unlimited galleries. And then you evaluate. There's a little arrow for where people are going to go. And so that gallery, let's say I laid down a red gallery. First thing, there's the interaction. So I lay down a red gallery. Everybody who has a red gallery on the table, everybody else, gets to add a visitor to that gallery. Then I look at the little arrow. Let's say it points to the right. And I count the number of red paintings in the gallery next door. I then score points for that. And it's the next player's turn. Now, in a future turn, let's say that I've got two visitors in a space. I will add two to my score. So if my score was three paintings plus two visitors, that would be a score of five. And when you reach a threshold of five, either five, six, seven, eight, or nine, you get to take a painting from the center of that color, and it will score bonus victory points as well as a set collection. However, there's a little push your luck, because if I take the five, I cannot take the six, seven, eight, or nine in red. So you're trying to collect all those and get a lot of points, but make sure you have the set. And the set's worth 10, I think 6, 3, and 1, depending on how many you have. So you're going to play through all... Oh, then you draft a new card. And you can see the colors on the backs of the cards. You know what color gallery you're going to get. And you work through. I really like this game. It's short. It's snappy, which I really like about it. With good decisions, I can be making my decisions on other players' turns, but then adjust based on what the player on my left or right does. Because I interact with their gallery. If I play a card on my far right and it has an arrow to the right, it picks their far left gallery as its target. So you're making really good decision points. You can get a little bit stuck based on card draw. It happened to me in the last game, and I just could not get a green card, so I could not score green and get those bonus points. But there's great interaction that I'm hoping people play certain colors, and there's good decision in how many galleries should I have. Should they be deep? Should they be wide? Whatever I'm thinking there. In terms of that, and I really, really like it as a thinky filler or, you know, a middle of the game night, I don't know, whatever it is you want to call that. It's probably 30 minutes without rules, and the rules don't take long, but they're more than 5 minutes to make sure everybody gets all those pieces down. But yeah, I really like it. I mean, essentially, it's, you know, a card game, and you're just playing cards to score points. The theme isn't super strong, but it got nice paintings and nice things and this idea of expanding galleries. But I really like the interaction. This is kind of a Euro or card game where the interaction is really, really nice. Because sometimes it's not like just negative interaction. It's like, ooh, who do I want to give a bonus to, or who do I want to gain off of, or whatever it is in terms of all that. And then the competition in the middle, timing, is always an excellent interactive piece in any game. So that's Artsy from Renegade Game Studios. I highly recommend it. Very, very good. All right. Next up, I'm going to talk about Omen, A Reign of War. Got a chance to play this a few times. So Omen is a game that's now been put out by Colossal, and it was originally Small Box Games. John Cloutis is the designer and the owner of Small Box Games. It's a two-player card game duel. Stop me if you've heard this before. But it does have some uniqueness to it. So, you are Greek gods fighting over three cities. So you lay three cities in the center of the table, and you can lay your characters and various things out there. You have a shared deck, so the deck is the same every time. It's two players only. You start with like four cards, four coins, or something like that, and on your turn, you get to take a combination of three. So two cards, one coin, two coins, one card, whatever I want to do. However, if I take all of one, I get a bonus. So if I take three cards, I get a fourth card. If I take three coins, I get a fourth coin. Then I play the cards. So the cards have a cost, they have a strength, and they have an offering or sacrifice value. So I pay the coins to put cards out. I put them in any one of the three cities. And there's types. So when soldiers come into play, they have an immediate action. They do this as soon as they get played. If I put an oracle out, oracles have an every turn action. They do something. Gain something for you. I can put beasts out, and beasts are colossal, so they count as two cards, and they have a really crazy ability. Beasts can also be discarded to do their ability, their dirge effect, which can be very destructive. I mean, literally destroy all creatures in play. And then there are spirits, which have two abilities, so you can either put them out and do one of their abilities, or you can pay and discard them to do both abilities. And there are hero cards. Heroes are worth a point in your hand. Most of them are free, so they can change the tide of battle. But you want to have them in your hand at the end of the game to score points. The idea is to get most points, and the game ends when two of the three cities have been completely war-torn or battled out. There's tiles. There's four tiles on each of those. So once four battles have happened. Or players have, are they called fates? I apologize. I can't remember the name. But they have cards, like goals cards, six goal cards. When one player completes five of the six goals, the game will end at the end of their turn. So you get points for those goals. You get 2 points for winning a battle in the city, which I'll get to. And you also get points for heroes in your hand. So that's basically it. So how are the battles working? So on your turn, after you kind of take that beginning and trigger your oracles, you are then going to do a check in city. So if your opponent has three or more characters, remember beast count is two, then that will be war torn. There'll be a battle there. If in total between you, you have five or more, then that will be a battle. Everything has a strength, as I said, so you'll total those up. Whoever has more wins. In case of a tie, you both lose. And then the winner has to discard down to one character at the place, meaning beasts are gone because they're two. And the defender discards down to two, so there's a little bit of a catch-up mechanism there. You get the tile, which is worth 2 points, but you can flip it to do its ability and lose a victory point, so it'll only be worth one. So you got to decide on those, how important they are. And then finally, at the end of your turn, you can discard a card for its offering value, usually two, three, or four. And again, you gain cards or coins, but no bonus. So if you took all coins, you'd just get all coins. So it's really head-to-head, trying to figure out what's my opponent going to do, timing of this. Do I need to win a battle? Am I trying to complete these objectives that are over here? The objectives are, you know, have an oracle in every city, have a soldier in every city, make your opponent discard cards on their turn, various things like that. So it's really back and forth. It's better than it seems like it will be on the surface. On the surface, it feels like, oh, or if I'm just explaining it to you, it's like I grab these cards and I play them here and then we battle and then the person who has more is going to win. But there's a lot of take that effects. Oh, when I play this soldier, I eliminate an oracle. When I play this beast, I kill everything in your city on that side. All sorts of stuff like that. Is that one on there? I guess just discard the beast to get rid of him. The part that isn't so exciting is those objectives on the side. Everybody's just going to go for those and pretty much be able to achieve most of them before the end of the game. So the points differential becomes the heroes in your hand and the battles that you have out there. In terms of that. Now, it's not definitely true. Somebody will get to five, the other person might be at three. So that's 10 to 6 points, which is a big deal. But of course, that race to get those cards feels that way. There's really those two paths. Am I battling or am I getting these faster? It would be nice if there was a little more exciting there. But again, like I said, when I explain it, it sounds more boring. Or when I kind of recap that, it sounds more boring than it actually is. It's very interesting trying to figure out. You are playing the other player. You're really trying to think, what are they going to do? What cards could they have? What do they open up? How can I put these combos together? If that, you know, oracle, you typically with oracles, you flip a card. If it's an oracle, you get a bonus. Like, ooh, if that hits, what will I be able to do? So there's a lot of thought going into your turn. It makes for a little bit of a longer turn. It reminds me a little bit more of a Magic the Gathering turn, not like a first turn, draw, play a land, go. You know, not that, obviously, the middle of the game when you're really trying to figure out your hand and evaluate. It's definitely one of those games where you have to dump cards. I can't hold on to this card forever. I've got to just decide, what am I going to use this turn? What am I going to use next turn? So I really enjoy it. It feels different from other two-player duels, so I could see including it in a collection of two-player games. Like, it definitely veers from Magic or Ashes or any of those like deck-building games, LCGs or whatnot. It's its own self-contained. I know they put up a Kickstarter for more stuff, and I don't know what's in all that more stuff. They also have a simplified version in the box, they suggest. There's like a drafting variant to start the game. Is it drafting? No, it's like picking your first cards or whatever. And stuff like that. So there's some variety there. For me, I'm going to open it up. I'm going to shuffle all the cards. I'm going to start playing kind of the basic rules. That's just how it's going to go. And it's perfectly fine. They're not basic rules, but the regular rules. I really enjoyed it. I would play it again. Will I play it a year from now? Meh. You know, I'll pull it off the shelf a year from now, and I'll give it another play and go, oh, I forgot about this game. But I don't know that it's something that will last forever and ever as my two-player game. I mean, I played Ashes recently, and that game's so good. That's just kind of where I'm at on those games. But, you know, it's a $30 price point, and you get your money's worth on the game. It's very fun. So that is Omen, A Reign of War from Colossal Games. I got a chance to play the Valley of the Kings, the premium edition. So AEG released three games, Valley of the Kings, Last Rites, and another one, I can't remember. And this is a deck building game. It's a really unique deck building game. Has one of my favorite deck building mechanisms that Heart of Crown has, which is you have to get the cards into your deck, but they only score if they're out of your deck. So you have to entomb cards in this. It's got an Egyptian theme. And on your turn, you can take one card in your hand and you can entomb it. And then they either are worth whatever victory points they say, or there are sets that get squared. So if I have four cards from the set, I will get 16 points for squared and various things. And you're playing through ages, and the drafting is a pyramid, three cards, two cards, one card. You can only buy the cards from the bottom three, and then they crumble down, which creates a little bit of an interesting mechanism and whatnot. So the premium edition puts everything in one box, makes tarot-sized cards, splits them into sets so you can mix and match. Like, ooh, I can put these red cards from this set with these blue cards from this set. And gives you some pharaoh powers. So I think all in all, if you don't have Valley of the Kings, the premium edition is worth it. It's neat. I think the tarot-sized cards are too big. I don't think they're so big that you can't play the game. But they seem a little silly. It came with sleeves and everything, so that was nice. You can just sleeve them up. I really like that you can mix and match the sets, because that's a good way to change it up if you've played the three games. Otherwise, I think they had that in the rules prior. It has the solo rules in there, and I don't think the solo is very good in this game. It's just kind of like entomb every card or something along those lines. And I know I've played it a few times, and it's not very interesting, so I don't think that's good. I have not tried the special pharaoh powers, so I know doing a review without playing with those is interesting. They seem reasonably balanced. They are like a once-per-turn ability, and some seem a little better than others, but I think it's just you play to that strategy. So it just gives you something to do, which is pretty fun in terms of that. But Valley of the Kings itself is a great deck-building game. I mean, Dominion is really good, and people like to poo-poo it because it's boring thematically, but it's very good, and there's too much stuff for Dominion. It's overwhelming. But people forget some of these deck builders like that just aren't as big that are really good. And Valley of the Kings is a really, really good deck builder. If you have not played it, I absolutely recommend it. If you don't want to go all in for the premium edition that AEG just did, then absolutely get the small box game that must run about $20. I don't know the exact price. I apologize. And it's totally worth it. Valley of the Kings has the claim to fame that the very first Gen Con we went to, we drove to Indianapolis. We got into our hotel, went to a Subway, got subs, and sat and played Valley of the Kings for the first time, and it was awesome. So that always kind of has a little special spot in my heart. It's the first game I played at Gen Con, but it's an excellent game, Valley of the Kings. The premium edition, if you have the other ones, if you're somebody who likes to bling out games, if you all want it all in one box, if you play it a lot and you want to mix and match the sets, that will be really cool, but other than that, you know, I don't think it's anything too amazing. I guess you'd be missing the special powers. Of course, if you're a collector, I can't keep you away. All right, next up is Crown of Amara. I know I talked about this on the Dice Tower Con recap, and that I really, really like this game. It's one of my favorites, but I wanted to give it a full-ish review here. So Crown of Amara is a classic Euro. It is just, it's two rondels, and the goal is to score the most points by the end of the game, which is a certain number of rounds. Six rounds. There's two rondels. One rondel you move around and you gain resources. The other rondel you move around in town and you spend resources to gain victory points in various ways. I'm going to kind of keep it at that simple. Very interesting ways. But what's neat is the way it works. So you have nine cards. You shuffle them up, you draw three. There is a variant to use all nine. It makes it very AP prone, so I don't suggest it, but you can do it. You draw three cards, and then you pick one to play, and you've got slots, one, two, three on your board. So you play a card to a slot, and that's how far you can move one of your workers around the rondel, always clockwise. And then you can trigger the action on the card. So you get to do both things, the movement and the action on the card, which is really interesting, and you could trigger them in either order, a la Underwater Cities. So it might be, oh, I get a free wheat, and then I can move one space, and I can go here. And, of course, when you gather resources, if you go to woods, you get a lumber, but you can have other bonuses there. So you might have extra workers there that give you extra ones, or you could bake bread there. There's other ways to gain resources. And then in town, you're like gathering books or you're bringing resources to like the construction place where they're going to use your bread and they're going to use your wood and they're going to use your stone, all sorts of things. Different places that you can turn things in. There's workers that you can hire that give you a one-time ability or ongoing abilities or other things like that. The way the score works is very Reiner Nietzsche-esque. So you have 35 build points, and you have 0 citizen points. And the lower of those two at the end of the game will be your score. So in the beginning, you're focusing on bringing your citizen points up, and then as they cross that 35-point mark, you're bringing your build points up, and you're bringing them up evenly. So it's that balance of trying to figure out how to bring those two up evenly. The game is awesome. It is one of my top 10 games of the year. It probably runs with 4 players like an hour 15. So it's right in that perfect wheelhouse. It is just full of think. You are thinking on other players' turns. It's not too bad on AP because of the only 3 options. You get pretty limited, which is nice. But it just plays so butter smooth. It's great at 2. It's great at 3. It's great at 4. Pick your number. Doesn't matter. The interaction is probably low. You're just fighting over certain cards. And when you turn in those things in the city, there's a lot of like turn in one resource. And now the next person needs to turn in 2. Or turn in this and gain 5 build points and 6 citizen points. But the next person only gets 5 of each. Like, so it's got that timing element that I was talking about. The game is phenomenal. The production is nice. The cards are good. Components are there. Everything's nice. You know, wooden pieces, wooden bits and everything. But it's not over the top. There aren't minis. And, you know, the artwork is just kind of that classic farming village. But I really, really like this game. Crown of Amara from Pegasus Spiel is one of my favorite games of the year. And, yeah, there's that. All right. I got a chance to play Foodies. Foodies is a game from Come On Games, Cool Mini or not. And it's kind of Machikoro-esque. So what's happening here is you are building stalls or locations in like a food court. In a mall. So you're trying to build these stalls and get customers to come to yours. And the stalls are all related to various countries, nationalities. And so you've got Brazilian food, American food, French food, Spanish food, all those kind of things. So what you do on your turn, you kind of have a blank board, roll a die. It's 1 through 9, it's a 10-sided die. If you roll a 0, you can pick any number. And then you look on the space that you roll, and everybody does. So if it's a blank board, it'll either have 1 or 2 coins, or possibly no coins, but a coin that's preset. You get that money, and then you could spend the money on your classic card conveyor belt, where you can buy for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. When you buy one, another one comes down. And you can buy a food stall and put it on a spot. And you can upgrade. And they'll have all sorts of abilities. The goal in a 2-player game is to get to 20 prestige or points. And in a 3 or more player game, get to 30 points. And so sometimes these stalls will give you points. Sometimes they'll give you points if you have the most. Sometimes they give you money. Sometimes they're interactive. If you have more of these, then you get that or whatever, you know, things adjacent and whatnot. Also, the stalls have little half stars around them on certain edges. And if you put 2 stalls together, make a star, then whenever you roll either of those numbers, you'll get a star towards the victory points. And it just keeps going around. Everybody rolls, everybody collects, and then you spend your money to get your stalls and score points. There's also 3 special like chefs or abilities. One is permanent. You pay 4 coins, you get a star. The others are, if you do these tasks, you get bonus stars in the game. So players work towards those to get them. It's light. It's family-esque. It's lighter than Machikoro. I mean, I guess that it's lighter than Machikoro. It's shorter than Machikoro, I think. We're playing Machikoro Legacy right now. So that obviously has a few extra elements. And it's way lighter than Space Base. To me, Space Base is great, but it's just a little bit too long. And Machikoro is just a little bit too random. This one's just a little bit too short. Like, it's just get stars and then get those numbers rolled and get the stars and try to just have enough money to buy something. It doesn't feel too much. It was way better with 3 than it was with 2. Or was it 4 did we play? I think we just played with 3. So I played with 2 and with 3, and 3 was much better. It goes all the way up to 5. Maybe that's even better. Maybe more players is better, which would be fun. So it's nice. It's light. It's, you know, fun on that light end, but there's not really any decisions. There's not a lot of joy to what you're doing. It's just happening, and you're rolling dice, and you're collecting things, and you're excited. So that's basically that for Foodies. But it was neat. I was, you know, I'm glad I played it, but I'm good in terms of all that. All right, and then last up, I've talked about this game a bunch, but I bought a copy. And so I figured I would give it a review because I already know what I think of it and whatnot. So this is Restoration Games Unmatched Battle of Legends Volume 1. So this is a game that Restoration Games has made to restore the classic Epic Duels, Star Wars Epic Duels, which I still have my copy of Star Wars Epic Duels. There's no longer a Star Wars license, so instead in this box, you get Medusa, you get Sinbad, you get King Arthur, and you get Alice, although not the typical Alice, more of a badass Alice in Wonderland that you'll get. You get a deck of cards that are basically unique to that character, and then they may have some cohorts that go with them. Allies, I think they're called. And you place that out on a map. I cover this at Dice Tower Con. I played it a whole bunch there. Played it at Gen Con, but now finally picked up my copy. I felt like... I really, really like the game. Again, another one of my top 10 games of the year at the moment. And so I figured, you know, buy it, show people, like, I'm not lying. This game is great. So it's a two-player duel. You go back and forth, but you move around the board. You get simple actions. You play the cards. You try to figure out what to do with them. So it's totally like a hand management, miniatures battle, card battle game. The best part in the game is the actual duel. I'm going to now fight you. I put a card face down with an attack value on it. You put a card face down with a defense value. We flip. The difference. I play a 4, you play a 2, so the difference is 2. That's how much damage I deal to you. Characters have like 12 to 18 health, and you only have to beat their miniatures character. But if you beat the other characters, then they'll be removed from the board, and cards in your deck might say, oh, you can only use this on Merlin. Well, Merlin's gone. You can't use it anymore. So now you have to discard that card and do other things. And you don't regularly draw cards. You have to, like, take a maneuver action to draw a card, which also allows you to move. So whenever you move, you get to draw a card. The game is great. It's great. It really is like a 10 to 15 minute arc. This is one of those games you honestly could play. You play this character, I'll play this character, and then we will switch and play the same characters and see how it goes. It's just so much fun in a box. This is what I want when I think of a light, simple game. It is also 3 and 4 player. I don't think those are going to be nearly as fun. It is not the reason I have the game. So I understand the 2-player only piece of it. I think it could be pretty fun in teams at 4-player. Brian was asking me what the incentive would be for 4 players. Like, how do you not just team up on one? I guess you could block the other player once they're going down and there's some ways to heal. So that might be interesting to work as a team to do that. So I would definitely try 4-player. 3-player doesn't seem interesting. And then they're just expanding from here. Mason, who comes to the store, runs Game On and has been on the podcast, is playtesting. And so we were playtesting a whole bunch of characters that I can't talk about. But we were playing a bunch of them. And it's just such a great game. This is what I want in a 2-player duel game. No offense to other ones, but like, it's so unique. The decks, plus the characters, plus all that. It's just great. And the board, the way they do it, the board is not beautiful. The artwork on the cards is beautiful, but the board is very user-friendly. It's helping you with range and with locations and other things. It's very well done. It doesn't look very nice, but it works really, really well for the game. So I've said great things about it before. I continue to say great things now that I have my copy. Unmatched Battle of Legends Volume 1 from Restoration Games is an amazing, amazing 2-player duel game. You should check it out. Awesome, that's my reviews for this week. So I wanted to roll a little bit into Nintendo Switch. So last year I decided to take the plunge and get a Nintendo Switch. I actually didn't. My wife bought me, Kathy, bought me a Nintendo Switch for my birthday last year. And my birthday's coming up next month. So I've had it for almost a year now. And I played a ton of video games, a lot of Nintendo, so much Super Nintendo, and so on and so forth. Then I probably moved over to computers. My mom worked for IBM, so it was very easy access to computers and did a lot more computer gaming, Blizzard games and whatnot, than consoles after that. And I really played board games all the way through. So when people say, like, what was your entry game to the hobby? Basically, mine is Axis and Allies at 7 years old. All that back. And I've really played games all the way through. The biggest exception might be when I was in college. I didn't play while at college, but I played in, like, when I went home and summers in between with people from here. But at actual college, I wasn't playing a lot. Video games, I pretty much stuck to Final Fantasy games. I really like Final Fantasy, and I played those all the way through college, borrowing people's consoles or playing in other people's rooms to play the Final Fantasy games. We got a Wii at some point, and did, like, dancing games and You Don't Know Jack, and I guess I played, like, a few Mario games on there, and I definitely enjoyed them, but very, very little. Basically, what happened with me as a teacher was, at one school I worked at that was about an hour drive, they wouldn't call school for the day until 6 a.m., and I basically would be up and ready to leave at 5:30, 5:45, and then be like, I don't think we're going to have school, and I would wait around, and sure enough, they'd call school around then, and I was already up and showered and dressed and breakfast, and I was like, oh, no one's up. It's 5:45 or 6 a.m. I'll play a video game. And I would play a video game till 9 o'clock in the morning. And then people would be, you know, I mean, earlier than that, people might be up. But for the most part, I'd have that time. And I really enjoyed doing that when it's snowing outside anyway. Where am I going to go? It's warm inside. And I was playing video games. And I definitely played other things in between. I haven't been completely immune. But I don't know what it was about the Nintendo Switch. Zelda seemed very exciting. And whatnot. And I really just wanted to try one. So went forward with it and got a Nintendo Switch, and it's an amazing system. I think it might be my favorite system of all time. Now, it's easy to say because I just bought the Nintendo Online, and I can play NES and SNES games, so I'm going back and playing A Link to the Past and Super Metroid, and I don't know what ages of people I'm talking to exactly. Some of you are right there with me in your 30s or 40s. Some of you were older and some of you were younger and these things passed by you. But, I mean, that's right in my wave of games. Final Fantasy II or Final Fantasy IV in Japan is my favorite game of all time. And that was an SNES game. So anyway, I've just been having so much fun with the Switch. I really like to play on the TV. I appreciate that it's portable, and I play it portable a ton. Not so much like, hey, let's get in the car and I'm going to play. I still interact with people, and I still look at that as a negative interaction if I'm sitting in the car playing Switch and you're driving and I'm not talking to you. So I'm still of that generation or age where I don't like doing that. But just literally just, oh, people are sitting around, they're watching a TV show, and I pick up the Switch and play right there. I like to put on my TV when I can. I still, like a non-wireless controller still throws me off. And I actually don't have good vision, and so from where our couch is to the TV, I can't play like Diablo. I can't see that far, so we either slide the couch up, or my wife sits on the couch, and I sit in a chair closer to the TV, because I don't have great eyesight. I am fine to drive. I can watch TV generally from that distance, but something I have to interact with as precisely as Nintendo is harder for me to do. The versatility is so good. Now, there are systems, I'm sure, that have better graphics, but I just don't think I care anymore. And I don't really want to play shoot-em-up games. I'm not against shoot-em-up games. I totally get it. I will play one. It's just not, I don't know. I just want to play something more in a fantasy world with Mario, who's trying to save a princess and can jump really high and all sorts of creative upgrades that he can gain and all that, rather than realism. I don't feel like I'm trying to escape realism when I play a video game, so in that. So I played through Mario, I played through Zelda, I mean, I beat Zelda, Breath of the Wild, I haven't done all the things. I'm not a completionist, and it's true in board games where I just don't care if I have whatever promo, and it's true in video games where I just don't care if I find all 120 shrines ready to move on to the next game, although I don't think I'm as bad as I am with board games, where I might say, this game's amazing, and play it twice in the year, and then move on. Although, I will say, to defend my reviews a little bit, if I say a game is amazing, like Unmatched, or Crown of Amara, I certainly play them more than twice in a year. So some games that are great, but I didn't own them, I don't always get back to again in the year. But Crown of Amara, I think I've played six times now, and unmatched. I mean, they're 10 minutes, so I taught it like 10 times at Dice Tower Con. So I'm way up there on those plays. Anyway, so yeah, I played through all those. It's great for like family playing together. Mario Party's been awesome with all three of us, Sephra included. It's a little sad that they don't have a way to make it play like two or three a little better. They always have automated other players in there, and so it's a little frustrating to just wait for the NPCs to take their turns. So I wish they programmed in a two and three player only mode. But we've been having fun with those. You know, we have Just Dance on there, but that was something we had on the Wii. And then even just some of these, I'm still in search for the perfect couch co-op. I learned this term. I didn't know this term. I don't want an online co-op because we only have one Switch. So Kathy and I want to sit on the couch and play together. So Diablo 3 has been our best thing so far. We really like Marvel and we really like the Lego game. So we're going to try the Marvel Lego game, Marvel Super Heroes. We had played the Harry Potter one on Wii. Oh, I see, I'd played that before. And I way back in the day, I played the Star Wars one and really enjoyed the Star Wars Lego. So we'll see how that goes. I don't expect it to be a favorite, but it's just so funny and silly and fun to play with the different characters. So yeah, if anybody has ideas of like that great couch co-op where the two of us can sit there and play and puzzle things out together. I was excited about the Marvel Diablo-like game, Marvel Alliance, but it didn't seem to get good reviews and I kind of steered clear of it. But I've been impressed with how much I've been playing solo games on there, and it really has steered me away from playing solo board games, for better or for worse. I'm not saying what, just for me, I really have noticed, like, I'm happy to play the Switch and not play a solo board game. So when I find a solo board game, like Sword and Sorcery, I really, really like it, because it's keeping me from doing the other thing, in terms of that. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. I learned about Baba Is You from Eric Sommer, and that game is amazing. A big puzzle game that I really thought was fun to try out. And, you know, some things lesser, like we have Kirby, and it's okay, but it's not. It's just kind of easy and whimsical. But Zephyr's been enjoying that and playing through some of those. And that's most of my collection, I believe. But I really just like the Nintendo Switch. I just think all the implementation, the way you can set it up somewhere, you can put it on your TV, you can hold it. I love the controllers, that it's one kind of big controller for like something like Zelda where you need all the buttons, but then you can split it into two and just play something simple like Mario Kart and just each have a simple controller. It has been really nice. The shop is a little overwhelming to me. I totally appreciate indie games, and I appreciate them being on there, but it's so hard to look through and know what is what and what is good. So I have found a few, like Celeste, which is really cool, albeit really hard, and a few others. I'm interested in trying Torchlight 2, because that's a Diablo-like game. My thing with Diablo is that there's just so much loot, and you level up, and it feels irrelevant. Like, add 1% to your speed, and it just doesn't feel like you ever see that. So it's just like I don't end up going to the menu, and we just hold down a button and kill stuff, which is kind of nice. I get the mindlessness of it all, but there's that. And I haven't jumped into like board games at $15 and $20 a piece, Istanbul, Raiders of the North Sea, that kind of stuff. I haven't done that. And there's a few things I do have on Steam, like Slay the Spire, that I don't know that I want to then go pay the $25 to put it on my Switch, although I'd probably be more likely to play it on the Switch. And the other big thing is, as much as I said those winter days where I would play for 3 hours, I can't play a video game for 3 hours anymore. So I can do a good hour on something like Zelda or Mario where I'm really engrossed and trying to do the things, but I don't make it much past a half hour. Now, I might play two or three times and total up to an hour and a half a day, but really, honestly, I don't think if you told me, here's a room, here's food, no one's going to bug you, play as long as you want, I wouldn't make it very long. I feed off of people interaction. And so, you know, I had a blast playing that. I like sitting there. I definitely feel like I'm chilling out. I don't get that like rage I used to get when I was a kid. No anger issues, just that rage from playing a video game and can't get it, figure it out. In terms of all that, I don't feel that as much. And I'm just happy to be done when I get to the next save point. I'm like, oh, perfect spot. I'll stop here. So anyway, that's the Nintendo Switch. I really enjoy it. I'd love to hear feedback and games that you enjoy. I know I posted in like Heavy Cardboard because I'm a Patreon there, and I was talking there and in the Dice Tower Slack to see what games people like, and I'd love to hear because we're always looking for new games. I can't purchase all the ones. You know, I passed on the Link's Awakening, just deciding it was a remake of an old game that I don't think I ever played because I never had a Game Boy. But, you know, at $60, it was just a lot. And I think the same for a board game. There's times to just say, hey, this board game is just going to be a lot, and I can't do it. And I think that makes sense. You know, even coming from a podcast from a store, the goal is not to get everybody to buy every game. It's to get people to buy the games they love, find a place where they can play games they love, and have that connection. Obviously, the store stays open when people buy things, and so that is something that we're going to need people to do. So we're demoing games, and we're finding things, and we're selling food and things like that to make money. But really, honestly, I can tell you that the portal has always been about a community, and I'm probably one of the best examples of that from the store, in that they have hired me to do that, to be in the community, to connect with Dice Tower, conventions, people on Twitter, you know, people at conventions, hosting things, hosting a podcast, and not demo games with a stack next to you saying 10% off if you buy it now. I've never had to do that. They've never wanted me to do that. And I think that's a pretty good testament. Oh, make a library for people. These have always been the things that they've wanted me to do. So I feel it probably even more so than other people. So, yeah, that's been really neat. So, that is that. Bunch of reviews of games, and I guess just a review of the Switch in general. I don't think I'm a video game reviewer because there's people that know so much more, play through so much more. I think that, like, added content in video games seems so important. What do I do after I beat the game? Because I could beat the game in, you know, 10 to 12 hours sometimes, not Breath of the Wild. But some of the other ones, you can beat them in that time, and then what can I do? And that's not me. I'm not going to go through and do that, so I don't want to make those reviews. And I think I just want to use video games to relax and not think about all those things. I'm just having fun. Not that I'm not with board games. In fact, talking about board games is probably even more fun than playing board games sometimes. That sounds horrible. I don't actually mean that, but I just really, really enjoy it. So, it's barely a job. Yeah, so that's it. So I'm going to end us here. Episode 136. I'll do it myself. Although, Switch, you play with other people too, but that's kind of what I was thinking. So, thank you, everybody. I'm your host, The Brant, and until next time, I hope you step into the portal.